You about ready? This is Marty Ford live on BBSRadio.com, 9 o'clock Eastern Time Zone, coming at you with You About Ready, the radio show that empowers you to live a life that you choose based on some critical thinking, some knowledge, some insight, some wisdom, which we all have. It's one and the same. As you age, it moves along and from decade to decade throughout your life. And we just want to come to you live from the beautiful basement of downtown Bozo's Bar and Grill and Tonsawas Station. As I said, this is Marty Ford, and we're live on BBSRadio.com. You About Ready is the name of the show, and if you were about ready, I'm about ready. Last week's Brain Buster, critical thinking. Remember, critical thinking, it might seem silly, but how many times in your life have you caught yourself saying, why'd you do that, man? I said, geez, I wasn't thinking. Yes, we don't think enough. Because we're brainwashed. We're moving like machines in a world of independence and creativity and critical thinking. But we don't take advantage of it because we become followers. We become Me Too people. You're having a hamburger? Yes, I'll have a hamburger too. You're wearing a green shirt? Yes, I'll wear a green shirt too. When everybody is moving to the right, you should be going to the left. Don't be a Me Too. Show some independence. Remember, Beyonce said, everything to the left, to the left. So let's move that way. Go opposite. Take the road not taken. Challenge yourself. Be out there. Empower yourself to accomplish more than you ever thought possible. And it is possible. You can fight all the things that are getting in your way, namely you. Confidence, self-esteem, awareness, critical thinking. Last week's critical thinking brain buster was a real challenge. And probably some of the grammarians out there, the well-read, the intelligentsia might get it. And then again, some kindergartners might get it too because they might be learning this stuff, hopefully. So it was, can you name a candy bar? Is there a candy bar out there that you know of that's named after two personal pronouns? I'll give you a hint. They're feminine personal pronouns, right? And you eat it all the time. They're one of the biggest ones. They have an amusement and water park, I think, out in Pennsylvania, right in the middle by the, not far from the state capitol, right off Route 81 south or north if you're coming from Maryland. And the answer to the brain buster of last week's critical thinking episode is the candy bar is the Hershey bar. Her and she, two personal feminine pronouns combined to create something sweet and juicy and luscious and inviting. As all women are, because they're beautiful. And I can say that, because I'm married to a beautiful one and have beautiful children. And we have beautiful people in our world and in our lives, just as you have beautiful people in your world, and you don't even know it. And it's a sad thing. So recognize the beauty that's all around you. Take advantage of it. Use it to its fullest extent. Appreciate it. What's the greatest feeling in the world you can have? The feeling of appreciation. Say, man, thanks. I appreciate what you did for me. You know, I don't know what'd you do? What did I do? Well, yesterday, you know, I was all messed up. I was upset and frustrated and a little bit down. And you gave me your ears. You gave me your ears. You have two of them, so you listen twice as much as you spoke. And I could vent. I could get it off my chest what was bothering me. And you didn't judge me. You didn't criticize me. You didn't ridicule me. You just listened, and I appreciate it. So you get that person telling you that stuff. You feel great. You're pumped, you're juiced. You feel good about yourself because you help someone feel good about themselves. That is part of empowerment. That is part of independence. That is part of building your self-esteem. Feel good about yourself. And you can do so without even realizing it sometimes. It just comes at you and say, wow, I didn't know I did anything good. What we do good, no one remembers. What we do bad, no one forgets. And this week, we have a critical thinking brain buster to get started on our show. And it is simply, it's sort of a religious one. It has religious connotations. So don't get upset out there. Don't call in all the experts. Don't call the lawyers. Don't call in anybody who's going to say negative things about it. Just appreciate it for the simplicity that it is. Because when you're empowered, you like the simple things in life. I'm shuffling around here and I found what I'm looking for. Minute. If you want to call in the radio station, it's bbsradio.com. The toll-free number is 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. If you want to contact me during the week after the show, If you don't want to call in, and we can talk now about anything that's on your mind that has to do with empowerment and what we talk about here, which is leadership and ethics and kids and play and veterans and just a host of things that all are focused on the self, to improve the self, to make you feel good about yourself, to empower yourself, to fight boredom, many things that we talked about in the past. So this week, the brainbuster is, what do you call a nun who sleepwalks? What do you call a nun who sleepwalks? And if I remember, once again, I'm pretty consistent with missing this by the end of the show, I guess because I'm talked out. And if folks would call in and have a dialogue, maybe my memory would keep me informed of what I have to tell you before we sign off. But that's all right. We're here to for you to listen, learn, and laugh, and have a good time doing it. So what do you call a nun who sleepwalks? And if I remember, I'll give you the answer later in the show, or as usual, I'll give it to you at the beginning of next week's show. This week's tidbit of useless information, which I was taught a couple of weeks ago on a visit to that great state of Alabama, where I met some wonderful college kids and had a beautiful time at a high school football game. Shout out. I'm shouting out to Booker T. Washington High School in Tuskegee, Alabama, the university, or Tuskegee University, and the marching band. By the way, the marching band escorted my wife and I, who were driving off campus, and they were playing their beautiful music with soul and grace and pride and dignity and power. And they were playing their music on the way over to the stadium. I guess they had a game that day, or else they were going to practice with the team with their formations and all. But my wife and I were at the university touring around. We wanted to see Booker T. Washington's home. We wanted to go into the museums there. But unfortunately, the government shut them down, and it was a sad thing. But we were welcomed at the dining hall. In fact, we walked in the dining hall to use the bathroom. And as soon as my wife walked in, for some unknown reason, a woman who was standing there said, "Oh, you must be the parents of a kid I know at the university." Yes, not Tuskegee University, but another university down the road, about a half an hour or 45 minutes. Yes, we are the parents. Why? Because we stood out a little bit because we're white, and the Tuskegee University in the surrounding area is all black. And they welcomed us. "Oh my goodness, come back. The dining room is closed now, but you can use the bathroom. But come back at 5 o'clock when we open, and you can have some food here made with love." And my wife and I used the facilities, chatted with the people there, were welcome, we were told that they would see us, they could see each other, we'll see each other at the high school game later on that night, which is a big event down in Alabama. Friday Night Lights lives and reigns supreme down there. The whole town turns out, thousands were at the game, both sides, visitors and home team. We were rooting for the home team because we have a special affiliation and allegiance there. We know some of the work. We met the coaches. We didn't meet any of the players because they were too busy doing what they had to do best and maybe a little bit more, which is what they do down there. We saw the band at halftime, which did rock and roll with a whole lot of soul. And in fact, speaking of soul, I don't know how to control all my soul. And my wife, too. I'm learning as we're together 25 years, this girl is loaded with soul, too. And it's a great thing because we give that to our kids who are able to participate in a community different to where they grew up. In a vanilla world with a little smattering, a little sprinkling of diversity, but mostly vanilla. And that's a sad thing, but that's the way it worked out for us. We weren't thinking. I was raised in a city. My wife was raised in a city. I was in the military. My wife traveled and lived down south with all kinds of people. And now we're fortunate that both our kids are in environments that allow them the beautiful, wonderful, inspiring opportunity to meet and work and break bread with people other than themselves. And it's just great for them. And I wish the whole world could experience this, because it would solve a lot of our problems that we are bombarded with and brainwashed with over the TV and the news, because all of that stuff is negative. We become desensitized. We think everybody is like this. Well, you know, it wouldn't happen if we broke bread. We were down there, man. We had the collard greens. We had the fried pork chops. My the kids ate fried alligator down there, which is a staple and a popular thing. And it's wonderful just to live and to be around people other than yourself. We were out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania last week. We've been traveling a lot. Tired as we are, old as we are, we get around. to support our kids and what they do, and we make arrangements at work. Luckily, we have a little bit of flexibility with that. And out in Pittsburgh, man, we miss Pittsburgh. That is an opportunity out there. Beautiful city. Reminded me of growing up in the town I grew up in, which is Philadelphia. Neighborhoods with character, charm, personality, dimension, energy, spirit, sounds and smells and flavors and style. And just a beautiful, wonderful place. I should have been there 10 or 20 years ago to buy up some of the property that's now very expensive because new folks are moving in. And if you get sick, Pittsburgh's the place you want to be. Why? Everywhere you turn around, there's a high-rise, multi-towered hospital of all different kinds, of all different specialties. That's where you want to be. I'm sure people from all over the country, maybe the world, go out there to use the services, both on the campuses, of the university and within the city. Because maybe 25, 30 years ago, Pittsburgh was a down-and-out town. Buildings were empty. Tenants were flocking away from the town, not in. And for the fathers out there, the leadership out there, probably had some vision and foresight and a chance to make some money as well. And let business take over. I'm sure the politicians had their spirited energies in there, and maybe their hands out or in the places they shouldn't be to take advantage. And I'm sure some people had problems with that. But when you see the beauty and the creativity and the life out there in that great city of Pittsburgh on the three rivers with its 400 or so bridges and the way they've built it, developed it, and made it very welcoming, inviting. You know, Bryce and Zion Canyons are inviting and welcoming and just want you there. Grand Canyon's too overwhelming for me, but the others are small and smaller and manageable and have the same things to do in a less of a space. Grand Canyon is great. You have to go see it if you're so inclined, but the smaller, lesser known ones are fantastic. So Pittsburgh has everything out there, and it's got great opportunities. And I think if I had some energy myself and a little bit of ambition, which I still do, I think Detroit is right around the corner, because that's a down and out town, and I hope the baseball team wins and support them no matter who they're playing, because it's good for a town when the home team wins. We live in an area where we have a couple of home teams, but they play here, and their name is reflective of a different geographic region. And if you live in a town that has a home team, a football team, any kind of professional team, even the college teams down in the SEC South conferences, you just become part of the community. Down in Alabama, it's family, faith, and football. I think that's the order. I'm not sure, but I think that's the way they do it down there. And they have a countdown in the windows of all the businesses. 62 days left, 61 days till kickoff, et cetera, et cetera. And the life that it puts into a college town and a community where everyone comes in days before the game to set up their communities of campers and trailers and trucks and people. It's wonderful. And they can mingle and get to know each other. And it's all over the country where these great universities are that supply and professional sports teams that have opportunities for people to get together. Most people behave properly. Unfortunately, some don't. And we see the results of that often on TV, and we shouldn't, because it's not the right time. Let the players play, the coaches coach. Let the owners go about their way and leave the players alone. And let the fans, the paying public, who's paying all the salaries and buying all the hot dogs and popcorn and all that, let them enjoy the game without going too crazy. Because, you know, being crazy is okay. Keeps you from going insane. And besides, it's just a state of mind. So Pittsburgh, great area, great opportunity, great diversity. And let's build up our cities, because we have too many sterile environments. We have real estate developments with manicured lawns and landscapers. And we have dogs that are crazy because they sniff the grass and eat the grass and where all the chemicals are. And you can't go up and pet a dog like you could maybe a generation or two ago, because they all have to be muzzled and they're not as friendly as they used to be. And I think that's reflective of the owners, because people aren't as friendly as they used to be. The only time we come out is a time of crisis, you know, a blizzard, a snowstorm, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just a shame. And you want to have opportunities for people in a community. That's why the schools should be open at night in the summer, on weekends, vacant, dormant buildings, not doing anything, that are all paid for, that kids could play at. Remember, the most important thing for kids to do is play. That's how they become empowered. That's how they grow up to learn how to balance a checkbook or write a check or make some food or follow directions without a GPS, right? We make them independent. We send them to school and kindergarten knowing their ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, numbers, shapes, and colors. And it's a great thing because then teachers don't have to spend time going over those basics that have been pounded into the kids through fun activities such as reading books, right? Interacting with other kids. I read many years ago when I was in school, there was an argument that said kids don't have language. They don't. And so one of the research people put a bunch of kids, preschool, in a room with some toys and games and so forth. And all the grown-ups left, and the kids were videotaped. And the parents could watch, the teachers could watch, the students could watch, and the kids played. They learned basic things, communication skills, sharing, conflict resolution. When I want the toy and they're pulling at the doll or the ball or something in there, sharing crayons and taking turns, going to the water fountain and things. It's wonderful. I was privy to that myself because I believe I empowered some kids growing up a few years back. I took the kids, I didn't take them, I took an opportunity to fill a void because I knew the kids were home in the summer, being in elementary and lower middle grade classes, and they went to camp in the morning, in the day camp, and in the afternoon, what did they do? You know, there was nothing. So my wife and I got on the phone and took the email list from the school, and we started pick up baseball. And we started the first time with 9 kids, and we played, and it was a good time. By the third day we were doing it, we had 27 kids and people calling us, adults calling us, can we come, can we do? And all I let the kids do was play without the grown-ups interfering, yelling, screaming, cursing, badgering, harassing, coaching, ridiculing, and all the other negative role-modeling behaviors that parents do to their kids. Parents who want to live their life vicariously through their kids because they themselves are shortchanged. They missed out on something. They feel inferior. Many of the men, mostly, some women, many of the men with their big SUVs or trucks or whatever they have, rolling on up to the field and bellowing their instructions and so-called leadership skills that they bring from the corporate world or management world or business world. And all they do is bother the kids and embarrass themselves and their kids. And those are the guys I've often said who are both micro and soft. They got a show. And there's no room to grow. Literally, there's no room to grow down there deep inside. So let's let the kids play, empower them, and move on with things. Tonight's tidbit of useless information, as I said, I learned a couple weeks ago down in Alabama, and I was educated by someone who was getting educated herself and from another part of the country from where we live, although we have been up there to Niagara Falls. She is from Buffalo, and she told us in the United States, there are no buffalo. All the buffalo are actually bison. And I think, if I remember right, she pronounced it bison or bison. I'm not sure. If anybody's out there and knows, call in from the Buffalo area to educate the country. Because we don't have buffalo here. When you go out to the national parks and you see them roaming around, as we did at Yellowstone, and one came right up to the car, and I rolled down the window. Of course, it was the window on my wife's side. And I yelled to her, pet him. Pet the buffalo. She gave me a look and said, get out of here. And then the park rangers came out and chased us away. We were in the car. There were some people brave enough and stupid enough to try to violate the rules and regulations out there to get out of their vehicle and try to walk over and mingle with the mighty beasts of the bison, not buffalo. Right? Just leave them alone. Just like we should leave alone the gators and the snakes and the crocs and all the other animals were just disturbing out there on these TV shows. They had one where they put a fishing line in, caught an alligator, pulled it up to the boat and shot it. What the heck is that about? How brave are you, big guy? How strong are you? How micro and soft are you? You got to shoot an alligator. Just leave the animals and reptiles and nature's wildlife. Leave them alone. Let National Geographic do whatever they do, how they ever do it. And film these beautiful beasts and creatures in their natural habitat doing what they do best. right? And I know if you're like me, when the hunter is hunting, is going after the hunted, and they get close to catching him, or they do catch him in their grasp, usually in their mouth to bite him and claw him and everything else with their strong paws and nails, that's when we turn it off and put on one of those nasty, foul, vile cooking shows that are going to cause us to self-destruct. Because we're eating ourselves to death. We're just loading up on all the wrong things. We're not getting up, getting out, and getting going. We're too damn fat, excuse my mouth. We're lazy. We're obese. Get off your rear and get out of the house. Do something. Make a goal for yourself, because without a goal, you got no destination. With no destination, you're on the treadmill going nowhere. And most of your treadmills at home are now laundry hangers or gatherers for your clothes that need to be folded or washed or something. We're too lazy. We watch too much TV. I watch TV too, but I keep busy and active. I try to with my aching bones and aging body. Tonight was pickup basketball, and you know what? The guys are getting younger and younger and younger and better and better and better. And it bothers me that I can't keep up, because most of them are, let's say, 2, 3, 4 decades younger than me. They're kind to the old and feeble. They let me play, even if I don't bring the ball. They include me, but I try not to do anything that they do better than I do, like shoot the ball. I try to do the little things, work up a sweat, bang some bodies, hang out with the guys, talk some sports, and let them have their own little world as well. But I've been doing it since I'm 14, and that's what I love to do. Keeps me active. And if I didn't, I'd probably be 400 pounds. But I got to do things, and so do you. You got to fight boredom, the enemy of the people, the enemy of us all. You got to get up, get out, and get going. Be involved. Doesn't have to be physical activity. You can walk a half an hour a day. Tell me, show me that you can't, and I'll prove that you can. But you can certainly keep active away from the refrigerator, the cookie cabinet, the junk food drawer, and all the other unhealthy things that stock our cupboards that we shouldn't be eating. Just a little bit. Moderation. That's what they all tell us. You know, increase your expenditure of energy and decrease your consumption and intake of crap, and you'll lose weight. Throw out the scale. Throw it out. In the morning, go to bed hungry. In the morning, you'll wake up, your pants will be a little loose. And you'll feel good about yourself. When you feel good about yourself, you become empowered, not enabled. Enabled is no good. Throw that word out of the dictionary. I hate it. Right? We're enabling kids right now. Why? In middle school, they're taking psychotropics. And we're breeding a new generation of junkies and druggies. They're going to end up in rehab somewhere. And rehabs don't work. We know that. In fact, the people, they're not even junkies anymore. They're turning into psycho people. And when the jails get empty, the marijuana people, when the laws get changed, hopefully the marijuana people will be back on the street, because they're less dangerous than all these people who are hooked on these drugs that are just confusing the hell out of their brains and their bodies and their well-being. They have no well-being. And they can be dangerous to society. Just look at the headlines that have been shoved down our throat and made us desensitized to it. Wow, I'm glad it didn't happen in my town. Look at that. It's like the Weather Channel. I remember going to Florida many years ago, and the Weather Channel was just coming out, and people down in Florida said, wow, look at that snowstorm in Utah. Right? They're flashing it all over the screen. Well, we're in Florida. We're 2,000 or more miles away. Has nothing to do with us. We should feel good about ourselves. And guess what? The people in Utah feel good about themselves, too, in surrounding areas out there. Why? Because they're all skiers and snowboarders and snowmobilers, and they love it. Now weather changes and storms are coming in. I'm bailing out. They're going up the mountain. It happened to us. We were out there. Seven of us, two families out there sharing a condo or something. And the blizzard was coming. We had to get out of town. We were like, and we still had to wait 8 hours at the airport because they didn't have plows to move the 10 or 20 feet of snow that was on the ground. We did go down the mountain, but we had to have chains. But as we're going down the mountain, gingerly, slowly, the people are driving up the mountain like they own it, through the snow kicking out of their tires from their wheels on cars and SUVs and all the other big things. And they're just happy to have that snow. Well, we're not. We don't need to be constantly brainwashed with all the negativity that is poured upon us the minute we turn the news on. In fact, last week in Pittsburgh, we stayed in one of those great hotels. I'm going to tell you, the Hampton Inn. Stay there. They're wonderful. First of all, the people are spectacular. And I've stayed in them. This year, we've stayed in Hamptons in New York and Florida and Pennsylvania and Alabama and some other I can't remember. And they're interchangeable. They're great. They're all laid out differently. They have a similar exterior, but inside, they have a unique personality, character, and charm. And they're very welcoming. The people are, too. The staff there, wonderful folks. They have a great system, I guess, of training their employees. And you have a comfortable bed, clean room, great shower head, and a little TV to watch the crazy stuff at night. So we came down for breakfast, because breakfast is included in the meal. Whoever designed that is a market. That's the one thing about marketing I will enjoy. The guy who, or the person who said, let's put breakfast, a hot breakfast. Maybe there's eggs or bacon. There's always oatmeal, cold cereal, fruit, bananas, as I said, yogurt, breads of various kinds, maybe a sweet tooth pastry, hot drinks, cold milk, cold juices. And so it's a great thing. So when you go out and you're traveling on the road, you see one, you pull in, you know you have breakfast. You don't have to go on a search and destroy mission to find something that is available desirous for everybody in your group. So you stay at the Hampton Inn. It's a great thing. Anyway, we came down. We're having breakfast, my wife and I. And behind me was the TV. And I had to look over my shoulder. And it was the local news. And all it was the crime report. Murders here, shootings there, robberies there. I turned around to the people next to me. Are you happy with watching this stuff? I can't stand it. I don't know. Am I the only one? And all the people, no, this is horrible. I said, put on cartoons. At least the violence is subliminal almost compared to what the silliness is of the cartoons. Because cartoons can be pretty violent. Just ask the Roadrunner. He's been chased for years by that coyote and destroyed many times. The Three Stooges were violent and all those kinds of things. But at least they're a little bit different than the blatant, roped off crime scenes that are in front of us and brainwashing us and desensitizing us. Because we see it so often, the images, we hear the stories, we see the interviews, we hear the cliche, and I'm going to talk about cliches in a minute, we hear the cliches of the spoken word by all the communication majors in college who are now TV news reporters, weathermen, anchormen, anchor people, whatever they're called, traffic reporters, because it's 4:30 in the morning. There's no traffic. It only takes you 10 minutes to get in the city. No kid. Come back at 7 or 6 when it's a two-hour wait at the bridge or the tunnel. Anyway, the Hamptons a place to stay, but shut it off. Put on cartoons. Don't put on these do-it-yourself shows, because they're all scams, too. I shouldn't say scams. They're all staged. There's nobody can do what they do in a half an hour or an hour show. You can't rip something apart, shop, make it ready for installation, have everything delivered on time with all the parts you need, and never have to go back to the store and have fun doing it. It doesn't happen. But we're brainwashed to think, yeah, it does. Let me go to the big box store and pick up all these supplies. I'll come home. It'll take me 2 hours. I'll have a new wall. I'll have new floors. I'll have new windows put in. Doesn't happen. But again, we're being brainwashed. The food shows, the news shows. Who the heck wants to watch a trial in progress with 4 or 6 or however many screaming heads all talking at the same time, providing poor role modeling for any of the youth, God forbid that they're watching it. They shouldn't be watching that crap. And parents, don't let your kids watch that stuff because it's nonsense. It's just there to sell. It's there to scare, too. Oh, my goodness, it's bad out there. I'm not going to go out of my house. I'm going to stay in, right? So anyway, the tidbit of useful information that I think I spoke about is that there's no buffalo in the USA. They are bison, or bison, as they say. Now, cliches. I struggle every week to try to come up with new ones, but after a couple of days, I fill a notepad. And in the past, we've had cliches, you know, just out there. Here they are from the past. Same page, transparency, the next level. Amazing. Everything is amazing, right? Isn't it amazing? Oh, it's amazing. In going forward, moving forward, step it up, dial it up, ramp it up. A level playing field. We have to make a level playing. No one wants a level playing field. Not if you're in competition. You want the upper hand. Human nature. You want the upper hand. You want to have an edge. You want to have insider trading like Nancy Pelosi and all the people down in D.C. They can do it. We can't. Gives them the upper hand. Allows them to survive not getting a paycheck during... Oh, wait a minute. They did get paychecks during shutdown. Oh, wait a minute. They don't have to go through health care or Obamacare because we're paying their way. Why can't they? We pay for ourselves, right? Oh, I have the way to do it. National health care. Oh, my goodness. The infrastructure is already there. I mentioned it many times on the show before, but let's reiterate it one more time for new listeners. And if you're listening out there and you want to call in to discuss any of these topics, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. This is Marty Ford. The name of the show is You About Ready, and we are on bbsradio.com, live, 9 o'clock Eastern time zone. So we have some new cliches that we want to add tonight. I don't know what flat out is, but I watch the sports shows. I used to watch it when the kids were home. I'd watch the two-hour pregame show, the now currently, more recently, four-hour actual football game, and then 2 hours afterwards. So I spent the whole day like an idiot watching all these guys. And every time, no disrespect to the men and women. They have a job. They do it. And we as followers are watching it. I'm toning down. I do love the game, but I'm toning down my participation in being a spectator when I could be getting up, getting out, getting going, and taking a walk at halftime instead of having a sandwich, which I do, right? So flat out, I hear he's flat out, whatever. Flat out, I don't know. When you're flat out, man, you're flatlining, you're gone. I was in the hospital one time, had kidney stones. My pulse was 31 beats a minute. And the thing on the thing was, the machine, whatever, my wife is watching it, and it's not going boop, 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 beep, beep. It's going hmm. And my doctor came in, who happened to be in the building, and other doctors who were attending me. She got worried. I got worried because normally it's a 60 pulse. I'm right on cue with the 60 pulse. For an old fat white guy, balding as well, that's not bad. But it went down to 31, and I thought, it's over. I'm flatlined. Not flat out. I was flat out on my back from the pain. And if you don't know what a kidney stone feels like, get one. I don't recommend it, but women give birth, and that's probably the closest I'll ever get to doing it, because if it was up to men to give birth, there wouldn't be a baby born in the world ever. Anywhere in the world, men wouldn't do it. They wouldn't go through what women have to do with the changes and the body things and the health things and the checkups and the bed rest and the seriousness of it and all the things that could go wrong and unfortunately do go wrong sometimes. It's terrible. But I don't know what flat out is. I've been flat out on my back a couple of times with these kidney stones, but they keep saying it over and over, and I think it's just another utterance that we listen to. We don't know what it means. But we accept it for, it's almost like cursing. My cliches that I've mentioned the past few weeks are all the way people curse without using profanity, because they just pound it in us and brainwash us and desensitize to it. We almost expect amazing or flat out or all in. We expect that to be part of the conversation or dialogue or speech that is coming in front of us wherever it rears its head. So we have flat out, a true freshman. Well, I don't know what a true freshman is. Is it different than a freshman who lies? What is a true freshman as opposed to a real freshman? I mean, I do know the difference. Some are redshirted. Some have academic issues or whatever it is. I heard a new one the other day. A graduate student is playing. He has a year of eligibility left. Oh, well, that's good. So now we have a fifth or sixth year student playing sports, which is fine. Brings a lot of money in, makes the kids feel good about themselves. I'm all for it. I just wish they would pay the kids. Let's loosen up the money belts, NCAA, whoever you are, wherever you are, because we don't know. It's like this phantom organization that has power. They impose sanctions and penalties and punishments, and they give and they take back, and it's all part of a big, scandalous organization that has one thing in mind. Money, 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 money. James Taylor, thank you very much. The money machine. You can bring your enemies to their knees, with the possible exception of the North Vietnamese. Takes a strong hit from the money machine. Right, the money machine. War is money. Football is money. Football is a war. It's a battle. You choose a site, You choose a team, you pick sides, and you engage in combat. It's a war out there. They're battling. Yeah, these are getting wounded. Well, pay them. You get somebody who's out for a year or two or something like that, loses his eligibility, can't come back and play. You got to have some compensation for these kids and not penalize them for selling their jersey to pay the rent or put gas in the car. But that's what the NCAA does. I know they provide scholarships and education for the kids. Money talks and BS walks. And why not share the wealth? There was one coach from a well-known school, won a lot of basketball championships for his Division I school. And he was interviewed on the TV one time. And he was as arrogant as Pelosi was when she talked about insider trading. That I can do it because I can. Yeah, because you voted for yourself, right? So this coach said, they were interviewing him. Hey, coach, what's this? What's with the recruiting violation? What's all? Ah, it's all garbage. You know, I'm not. And he is, and I think he retired eventually. But what he said was, do you know that I bring $25 million into this college every year? And he's right. So he's a good salesman, a good hustler. He gets the most out of his players. They win championships. School gets money for equipment, for facilities, for new construction, for opportunities for other kids. I see the cycle. But why not pay the people who are making it possible for the coach to do what he does? Granted, there are good coaches, good leaders, good motivators. Some are abusive, right? The guy at Rutgers, the basketball coach last year who got caught out there in the video, guarantee what he does on the basketball floor is repeated at home. And I feel bad for his wife and kid. Because you don't just shut that behavior off. I've seen too much of it. I work every day with behavior issues. And you just don't turn it on and turn it off. When you get heated, when you get angered, when your micro and soft personality comes out, it's not limited to where you work. It's not limited, because you know, you never know what goes on behind closed door. No disrespect to the gentleman, but you know what? You know, an anger management course and a fine and a suspension is not going to help, because you're still going to be the same person inside. Change is very difficult, especially with those kinds of things. Whatever happened to him in his youth to cause him and anyone else abuse people, chances are they were abused themselves. And it's very sad that they continue the cycle and can't break it. Maybe they don't want to break it. Maybe they like the power. We have leaders like that all over the world. They like the power. You live, you die. You win, you lose. It's terrible. How many lives have been lost in the name of religion? How many leaders are out there who are taking advantage of their people by killing them so they can have ultimate power and control? It's terrible. So some more cliches is on board. That's been around a while. It's still kind of nasty. On board. I'm bringing him on board. You're on board today. Well, what is that? I am bored. I'm sitting in your boardroom. You know, I used to run meetings when I first went into the corporate world after college. I used to go to meetings as an attendee and sit there in those big room with the table and the donuts and all the crap on the else, and then people swiveling their chairs. And we wait for the leader to make the entrance and all like hush, hush. And then he'd make the speech or the orientation or whatever we were doing. And then we'd go on and people would make small talk. You know, how's the game? Did you do this? Are the kids doing whatever it is? And the meeting would take an hour. Well, I was an underling and I had a lot of crap to do when I wanted to get out so I could get home and go to the playground and play basketball or racquetball, which died. Sad thing, racquetball, great sport. Great workout, great energy. An hour, you play a good solid hour with a person of like kind skill or a little higher because you always play better. It's good to play up. Younger siblings in the family are the best athletes because they're playing up with their older siblings and the older sibling's friend. Chances are, if you know someone with a younger sibling, that kid turns out to be the best athlete of the family. So we'd sit in these meetings. I was called in to run the meetings for some reason. I don't know. And so I had the chairs taken out. Nothing on the table. Told people to bring a clipboard and a pen, and we were done in 20 minutes. Everybody got what they needed to know. They were done, out, back to work, being productive, right? Because you just think the government has slowdowns. There's slowdowns in corporations until there's a crisis. But I don't know what on board is. You're on board. I don't want to get on board with an airplane. I want to get in the airplane. Thank you, George Carlin. I don't want to get on, because on, you're going to fall off when the thing is taxiing away. The window of opportunity. The window of opportunity is open. The window of opportunity opportunity is closing fast. You better get in there before it's too late. Well, I don't know what a window of opportunity is. I do know what a window is. I know what opportunity is. But it's another one of these cliches that we're bombarded with, and we have expectations, and we know when people are almost going to say it. It's automatic speech. And when someone says, you know what I mean? No, I don't know what you mean. If you have to ask, do you know what I mean? That is you telling me you don't think I understand what you said. And it goes along with, in other words, I don't want to hear in other words. I want you to tell me in original words the first time what you're trying to communicate, what you want me to know. Don't think I'm stupid and don't understand, because I have a question, I'll ask it, because I don't want to look like a fool too much. In fact, one guy was trying to tell me something one time. I said, wait a minute, do you have a mirror? I said, what do you need a mirror for? Because I want to see if I look like the fool you think I am. So, in other words, tell me what you want me to know and hear, and I'll follow, and I'll ask questions. You know what I mean? And in other words, goes together. And this third one goes with you. I'll tell you what. No, don't tell me what. Tell me what you want me to hear. Don't tell me what. I'll tell you what. Boy, a lot of good old boys use that one down. So I remember that with my good old buddies from Tennessee and Alabama and Texas and North Carolina and Georgia. I'll tell you what, man. We were out there. We were... All right, I can understand that. But in today's world, it's become like a business cliche. Well, it's almost like a power thing. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you a piece of my mind. I'll tell you how it is. Well, usually those folks have no idea what they're talking about. Critical mass. I know what critical mass might be, but I have no idea how it's used. Probably in economics or business. I hear it all the time on some of those shows who are trying to impress us with critical mass. And that other great one, root cause analysis. Well, you know, root cause analysis. What's my tooth? I had root cause analysis yesterday. I had a tooth pulled. Actually, he didn't pull it. I was juiced up, and he had to use like a sandblaster to get that out. And I went to a guy who's not in the plan. I know I'm going to have to pay more. But you know what? I wanted someone to do it with love. This fellow took care of our kids as well. I knew he would have my best interest, not a stranger. When someone's digging up in there... other regions of your body, you want somebody familiar, friendly, and welcoming. And a couple other ones that bother you. Hello? It's like, what do you mean? Hello? Is anybody there? Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? You know what I mean? All these things are linked, and they're just horrible to hear. Don't you have anything else to say? Can't you get creative with language and words? There's dictionaries full of words that replace curse words. So-called curse words and profanities are used to take the place of a word that we need to think of to express our feelings and emotions. So we have to reduce ourselves to cursing. I try not to do it on the show here. Not that I'm any better than anybody, but I want to try to set an example. Right? It's like I never drank a cup of coffee. And I think my kids, one of them drinks a little bit of coffee, but not much. I don't smoke. I used to, but when I smoked many years ago, cigarettes were 25 cents a pack. And then they went to 30 cents. I had to dig in deep for an extra nickel. I didn't want to do that. Plus, the nicotine, the actual not chemicals that they are today, the nicotine in the tar would yellow your fingers. And when I went to pick my nose, I would smell it. It was disgusting. So I stopped smoking for that reason many years ago before I went in the military. And the last one is, this comes out of tragedy. This is sad. This is when communities come together, strangers hug and embrace and reach out to each other and fill the trucks with bottles of water and clothes and toys for kids. And it's just sad. I don't know if the Ninth Ward's ever going to get rebuilt down there after Katrina. It'll probably just rot like Atlantic City in the inlet area and some of the couple blocks over from all the magnificent casinos. That are going to start putting in gentlemen's clubs to entice more people to come because they're not spending enough money down there and the casinos aren't making enough money. Those few blocks, one or two blocks off the boardwalk down Atlantic City, it's just as barren and desolate as it was 30 years ago or so when the first ones went in. And the promises, again, were unfulfilled for redevelopment of an entire community and neighborhood, because Atlantic City at once was a thriving, fun, entertaining family community with neighborhood. It started out like you see on Boardwalk Empire, I'm sure with some exaggeration, but not too much. So anyway, it's like our hearts and prayers. Our hearts, our thoughts, our prayers go out. How many times have you heard that? You know, someone, God forbid, something happens, it's a tragedy. First thing, our prayers and our thoughts and our hearts go out to the family. Yes, they do. But you don't know these people. You're just saying to fill time on the air because there's 24 hours out there. And the other thing that's ruined our country until the cities come back, besides real estate developments with their sterile environments, are the malls. I've mentioned that too, with their almost nondescript sameness all over the country. And it's taken away from the cities. Cities come back because they're resilient. Malls come back because of demographics. But demographics change. And we hope Pittsburgh can continue and Philadelphia can continue and Boston can continue and Detroit. I hope everybody could just pool some money and put it into Detroit, because you'll make a lot of money in the next generation. Do it for your children and your grandchildren. So our hearts and prayers. And that's another one of the cliches. Remember I said the cliches are just the ones I use on the air here at bbsradio.com every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock. You can hear my show, You About Ready. I am Marty Ford. The number is 888-627-6008. If you want to call in and discuss anything we talk about, anything at all related to it, or something you want to contribute that I might be missing. I try to get a lot in the 1 hour that I have here, because we're on the East Coast here and it's getting to my bedtime. So the cliches take the place of using more creative ways of communicating and thinking, critical thinking. We don't have enough of it. Alcoholics begin, think about it. Remember, when you go to a head jockey, well, tell me what it was like when you were a kid. What happened in your youth to cause you to do this? You know, abuse happened in your youth, and now you're angry with the world and your life, so you're going to abuse people else. Alcoholism, if you think about it, goes back to the days of babies who were teething and crying and keeping their parents up at night. What did they do? Well, they rubbed a little whiskey on their gums, and it numbed them, and it pacified them, and it knocked them out. So, if you want to trace everything back, which can be traced back to the argument of Adam and Eve, well, if it wasn't for Adam and Eve, this all wouldn't have happened. Well, you know, Adam and Eve did their thing. By the way, I think Adam and Eve are the only two people who don't have belly buttons. I'm not sure about that. Right? In any or in out, even filled with lint, I'm not sure. So, babies, who, by the way, colic, I happen to think is acid reflux. And I don't know anything about science or medicine. But babies, I've had acid reflux, and it's nasty, it's vile, it's foul, it's uncomfortable. And that's all you hear parents talk about with a colicky baby. The baby's so uncomfortable, it's making me miserable, I can't sleep. And alcohol or whiskey on the lips or the gums won't help. And the baby's miserable. Might be it's acid reflux from whatever food other than mother's milk, which is the best thing to give your kid, if you can, ladies. I know you're all told this, and it's an inconvenience, and for some it's an embarrassment, and some places don't like you doing it, so to heck with them. But if you're a breastfeeding woman, a mother, God bless you, you're doing your kid a favor. And I don't know if breastfed babies with mother's milk get colic or not, but it's horrible, the acid reflux. And I think acid reflux, later on in life, or the acid in your body, stains your teeth. We all always hear that, well, aging stains your teeth and dulls them, and takes away the whiteness and all. I believe that, right? I believe any of the crap that's put out there, because I'm very stupid. But I have acid reflux. I've noticed in the past 5 or 8 years that my teeth have darkened a little. I use all the whitening toothpaste. I go to the dentist. I get polished and buffed and all this other stuff. They still look the same. But I control the acid reflux right now through diet, exercise, and 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar in 6 or 7 or 8 ounces of water. Mix it in. Guzzle it down. It's nasty, but I feel relief. Now, why an apple cider vinegar, which is an acid, I guess, for all you science folks out there, please help me. I don't know if it's an acid or a base or whatever, but why would that help an acid situation? I don't know, but it works the few times that I have used it, and I'd rather do that than take pills that you shouldn't take for more than 2 weeks without a doctor's prescription or knowledge. Gambler, if babies begin their alcoholism with their gums being massage with whiskey or alcohol and stuff, then gamblers start in their world, maybe at a later age, I'm not sure, but by playing bingo at the VFW, at the American Legion, at the local church. So they start, I got started my gambling habit with bingo. And if you've ever gone to these bingo places, oh my goodness, it's intense. I used to go with my mother in the community where my folks live. He's at bingo every week. And man, if you sneezed, belched, farted, winked, blinked, burped, yawned, or any other bodily noise or function, you got the look of evil from 300 intense people playing bingo with multiple cards and their marker in their hand, looking and hunting for the next number to win the jackpot of $100 or $50, whatever it is. So there's big money in it, and so people get intense. Why? Because they're competitive. We're a competitive people. That's the way nature built us. And if you're not as competitive, think about it. You are. I once played on a non-competitive men's softball team when I got out of the service. Let me tell you something. It was as competitive as the competitive league. Only no one knew it because guys were behaving the same way. Some were stupid and arrogant, but others were hustling and leading and trying to lead by example and always motivating and all. It's a great thing. So we're a competitive creature in a competitive society. Don't let anyone tell you different. Don't be hustled or swindled by someone that said, take a more passive approach. Take a more passive approach. A friend of mine was one of the liberal-type folks in the world, and when the Exxon Valdez went down 20-some years ago, right away they cut up their Exxon card and did all this stuff. And 10 years later, I say, how you doing? Oh, you know, I bought Exxon stock, and it's paying for the college. Whoa! What happened to the cutting up the card and protesting and all that? Well, you know, money talks and bullshit walks. Excuse my mouth, sorry. Yeah, money does talk. You know, there's no black or white or red or yellow or anybody, any race or ethnicity. None of it. None of it exists. We're all green, right? Given an opportunity to make money or not, people would make money. You choose it every time because money sort of empowers you, hopefully, to buy and do the things you like to do. How many people struggle all year working 50 weeks for that 2 weeks of vacation? One in the summer to go to the beach or the ocean or in the mountains or travel the country, and one in the winter to spend Christmas and holidays with the family, right? And then it rains all week and your destination vacation in the summer and you get a blizzard in the winter, so you're stuck in, right? That's terrible, right? So when you're empowered, you give yourself the opportunity to make money while you're sleeping, which is what you should be doing, through investing with someone who you know, trust, and respect to handle your money, not scam you like is thrown at us every night on TV with the American scammers out there. People do that, and they still get scammed and hustled. You know, Bernie Madoff went away, and since then, there's probably been a half a dozen almost as big as him doing the same thing. So how stupid are we, right? Careful what you ask for. You just might get it. Let's see now. Why? Birdie in the sky. Gee, I'm glad the cows can't fly. Images. We see so many images out there of bang them up, blow them up, shoot them up, and brainwashing. Why can't we laugh? Why can't we be silly? Why can't we find the humor in things? Why can't we have fun? Why don't we do those things? Why are we so brainwashed and desensitized that all we do is have a life of misery and suffering? Because that's what we see. That's what's thrown at us, right? Why is there so much? Because TV and movies, which is a part, you can't have a conversation today without someone referencing a movie or a TV show or a commercial. Oh yeah, that reminds me. See that guy in the movie? We know all the people and what they do. We know their biographies and histories. Nothing personal. We talk about them like we know who they are. Again, being brainwashed by what's ever thrown in front of us. And instead of getting up, getting out, and getting going, we seem to thrive on misery. And that comes back to the, oh, woe is me tale, because you're not empowered. You're living your life through other things instead of through yourself. You can't make up your mind what you like because you don't know it. The only way to figure out what you like sometimes is to figure out what you don't like. So maybe you're not so athletic that you're going to play tennis or golf or swim, but you can take a walk, you can go bowling, you can go for a hike. You can ride a bike. You can get up, get out, get going. You can join a choral group. You can join a book club. You can get out of your world and into something healthy and positive and creative and good for you, because it's going to help you make you feel good about yourself. Why not do that? Why not? Because we always find excuses which explain our shortcomings or failures, rather than coming up with reasons to define our success. So we forget what it's like to be a kid. I'll tell you what, make a goal this week. A couple weeks ago, I put out a goal. If you wanted to lose weight, stop smoking, social, make more money, do something. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do this week that's going to make you feel good about yourself? Are you going to go to a place? Are you going to visit a new part of your community? Are you going to meet some new people? Are you going to make a commitment to a goal which gives you a destination so you can accomplish more than you ever thought possible and become empowered? Can you do that? Don't do it for me. I could care less. I mean, I do care, but I don't care as much as you should care, because it's your life. You know, people out there can make things happen with you and for you, but you got to make it happen for yourself. You can go someplace and try to do something and not have a good time, not enjoy the experience. Well, that's okay. Now you know you don't want to do that. No, what you don't want is half the battle. Now you can use the process of elimination to find things that you want to do for yourself, to empower yourself, to make you feel good about yourself. I know a recurring theme over here, but I see too much of woe is me, the world is awful, my life is miserable. Do something about it. I want to talk a little bit about veterans. I've missed it the past few weeks. When you see a veteran, someone in military clothes, go up and thank them. Talk to a stranger. They won't bite. They'll probably say thank you, right? And don't do it like the cliche that you hear on all these TV shows. When the onion comes on, what's the onion? Here's another returning veteran coming home. The cameras are there. The plane has landed. He's getting off the plane, and here comes a little five-year-old girl, or he goes, or she goes to the school where their kids are having art class or music or learning something, and the guy or the soldier walks in, and here's the onion. That's all well and good. I mean, that's a nice thing, but it's been overdone. That's a cliche too. It's losing its meaning and purpose. I have a story about coming home. I'm not going to tell you tonight. I'll save it for another time because it's rather lengthy. But the onion story. Let's try to keep it down to a minimum, you know? Because too much of the same thing, like being desensitized by the woe is me misery out there, the onion story becomes almost worthless and meaningless because we've seen, listened to it, and heard it so many times. So when you empower yourself, you do good things for yourself. When you do good things for yourself, you're doing things for others in your world. And make it a small world. You know, have some fun. Paint your, ride a bike. Water balloon fight, but don't throw it to head. You know, be silly. Go to a lake or something, a river that has a Tarzan swing. Remember Tarzan from the old days? He'd swing on the vine and all. Well, we had that when we were kids. There was a rope someone put over a tree. You swung out on the rope, landed in the water, you splashed. You had fun. And we love being around the water, whether it's a beach, a river, an ocean, a lake, a shallow, a pool. A water slide. That's why water parks are so great. People love being around water. And there's only one reason for that. Because we come from water. Everything has a purpose. Everything's related in life. Nothing individual. No, nothing stands alone. Nothing strong enough to stand alone. We come from water because we're floating around in the amniotic sac all those months. And when the water breaks, boom, that's the magic. You're going to be born. I didn't realize that until it was time for our kids to be born, because my wife woke up and said, I have good news and bad news. Well, tell me. The bad news is we can't go visit your family south of here. Oh, man, you don't want to go see my blah, 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 blah. No, not that. My water broke. We're going to have a baby. I said, that's the good news. She said, yeah. And I, who had taken notes at Lamaze class, had no idea what she was talking about. I was stupid, and I still am in many ways. Thank God my wife is smart, right? So we packed the bags, and 10 hours later, our first child was born, and our blessed life took on a new course of meaning and purpose. So we've had a lot to discuss tonight, and I hope I put some thoughts in your head that you can carry with you next week. And hopefully somebody will give us a call or send an email. Oh, I wanted to talk about veterans. I'm sorry. So when you see a veteran, thank a veteran, right? And if you want to help put out about it, there's a great website out there, www.connectwithveterans.com. I know the owner personally. It's mine. I built it. I paid for it. And I want to get veterans united together, connected, because a lot of people out there, men and women, are suffering and struggling out there, and they don't have to. Because a military relationship, no matter if you were in country or overseas, your time of service, those relationships that you developed are like no other in the world. Just like there's a mother-daughter, and a mother-son, a father-son, and a father-daughter, those are all similar type relationships, but there's no other special, unique relationship than a mother-daughter. Well, a similar thing happens with military people. There's a bond. You eat, sleep, work, train, fight, survive with each other, and there's nothing like it in the world, no matter if you're in for a year, 30 years, or a civilian or a military combination. I want to connect the veterans. www.connectwithveterans.com. It's a place where veterans can sign up, name, address, phone numbers, places you were stationed, units you were with, your assignment over the years that you were in. It's a $25 fee to sign and a $10 fee, annual renewal fee. Those fees go to two things. First place, it helps pay for your website, and we all need a little help sometime. That's going to be a small portion of it. But the balance of the money will go to deserving veterans. We need a boost and a help. We're not going to do it like a welfare thing where four generations of a family are on welfare. Somebody's got to be able to work. But there's a soldier out there, a veteran out there, who needs a little bit of help, maybe needs a maybe the kid needs braces, tuition for college. If we get enough income out there and can hopefully invest it to make more money for the website and for the people, we'll give out more. I don't want to leave any money in there other than operating expenses and enough money left, more money than we need, excess money. We'll give it all out to deserving veterans, and we'll find them. We know you're out there. I know where you're out there. I can find them in my own town. So the website is www.connectwithveterans.com. You can email me there. The email is marty@connectwithveterans.com. It's on the website. You can sign up, have your friends sign up. It's a great birthday present or Christmas present, veteran who unexpectedly, because you know what? A lot of them, as I said, are hurting. They're hurting with post-traumatic. They're hurting with loneliness. They're hurting with a lot of things that medicine, the same kind of medicine that they give middle school kids to get them drugged up, the veterans to keep them calm and on key and level-headed and so forth. It doesn't work. Kids should be playing, and veterans should be playing too, but they should be able to communicate with their buddies. Whether now you can do it with Skype, you can do it online, you can do it in person. Now, I had lunch with a buddy I haven't seen in 40 years. I had lunch with him last year. www.connectwithveterans.com. Spread the word. Spread the word about bbsradio.com. Marty Ford, Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. Live show. Various topics to help you think, to help you become empowered, to help you accomplish more than you ever thought possible. Not to help you, but to prove to you that it can be done, because it's simple. And I know it's simple because so many people get with me, and they like the simple things in life. And I'm simple enough to understand this, and so are you. It's plain, it's right in front of you. There's opportunities that are all available. It's up to you to take the first step and stop blaming the world for what's ever going not so good in your life. This is Marty Ford, bbsradio.com. You Bat Ready is the name of the show, and it's time to power up your power, because the power is in you.